You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. Earlier this month, contributor Larry Nagengast reported on the Creative Vision Factory, specifically the circumstances causing a program that helps those facing homelessness, mental health issues, and addiction to leave its current Wilmington home. That was the first in a series on the Creative Vision Factory and associated issues from the Delaware Journalism Collaborative, a partnership of local news and community organizations working to bridge divides statewide. This week, Larry Nagengast returns to complete the series with a look at possible solutions to assist programs like the Creative Vision Factory. That piece is available at DelawarePublic.org. And earlier this week, Larry joined me to discuss his reporting. So before we get into your piece, I understand there is an update on what's happening with Creative Vision Factory. What can you tell us about where things stand now?
Well, in the last time we talked about the Creative Vision Factory, we reported that it would become part of a larger peer support organization called Impact Life, and it would move at the end of June from its longtime site on Shipley Street in downtown Wilmington, most likely to an Impact Life site in Ellesmere. Since then, Impact Life has arranged to purchase a building within Wilmington for the Creative Vision Factory to continue serving Wilmington area residents who are battling housing instability, substance abuse, and/or mental health issues. However, this purchase will not be final until mid-August, and that assumes that everything goes smoothly with the settlement process. So in June, the Creative Vision Factory is going to phase out its programming on Shipley Street, and for at least 6 weeks in July and August, its clients are going to have to get to Ellesmere to avail themselves of its services. Now, Impact Life says it will provide transportation if it's needed, but some of those details still remain to be resolved.
So moving on to your piece, as you looked at ways to bolster support for those with mental health and addiction issues that are served by entities like Creative Vision Factory, you found one thing may be needed more than anything else, and it's something entities like Creative Vision Factory don't offer. What is that?
Just about everyone that I interviewed said the same thing. A stable housing situation is essential for anyone in recovery from substance abuse or mental health issues. Having stable housing removes one of the largest stressors for individuals in recovery. Now, stable housing, while not a guarantee, does make it less likely that these individuals will have their recovery derailed. Housing for individuals suffering from addiction and mental health crises is in short supply, and these individuals comprise really just a small part of this much broader need in the state, a shortage of more than 20,000 affordable housing units. Now, keep in mind also that organizations like the Creative Vision Factory have never had a housing component. Their role has been to provide supportive social services, but housing has never been part of their mission.
So your piece, with that in mind, focuses mainly on one possible housing-related solution, and that is permanent supportive housing. Can you explain what that is?
Well, okay, and I think the best way to do this is to go back to the definition from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And according to HUD, permanent supportive housing is permanent housing in which housing assistance, typically long-term leasing or rental assistance, and supportive services are provided to assist households with it who have at least one member who has a disability that keeps them from achieving stability in housing. Now, these supportive services can include case management, mental health services, substance abuse treatment, health care coordination, life skills training, and employment services. To make it clear, permanent does not mean forever. It means having a lease, not just temporary housing. And supportive refers to rent subsidies and these various supportive services that are essential to helping people in need get their lives back together.
So are there any examples of this permanent supportive housing already in Delaware?
Yes, there are several. A group called Conexio Care, which is the kind of the linear descendant of the former Connections program, has 58 units throughout the state. Some of the programs of the fairly well-known Ministry of Caring in Wilmington also fit that description, and so do several of the residences that Impact Life already operates. Now, one successful program, which focuses on serving young adults who are aging out of the state's foster care system, is Lifelines 3, a project of the West End Neighborhood House in Wilmington. Now, they have 33 beds in 13 homes, most of them on the city's west side, clustered near St. Anthony's Catholic Church and St. Francis Hospital. Now, in addition to putting a roof over the heads of these young adults, Lifelines teaches basic life skills like how to go grocery shopping, how to do the laundry, and helps them find jobs and provides an array of counseling services, and it connects them to healthcare providers right there in the neighborhood. While Lifeline serves these young adults in need, this model can be replicated to serve other populations that need support, like those in recovery from substance abuse or with mental health issues.
So what are some of the challenges to creating more of this type of housing?
Well, you know, the biggest challenge here is that there are really multiple pieces to put in that are involved in putting together a permanent supportive housing program. And few of these organizations that are interested possess all of the skills needed to put those pieces together and to keep it running. To keep it simple, you've got four basic needs here. First, you need a developer or a builder who can acquire existing housing or construct new units. Next, you need a property manager who can oversee those units, handling the maintenance, the repairs, things like that. Then you need social services programming. You need counselors, psychologists, people to help find jobs, access to health care, and making that available to the people who are living in these units. And finally, you need a revenue stream, because few, if any, of these people who are going to be living in the housing are going to have the means to pay market rate rent. So this means qualifying for rent subsidies, contracting with state agencies for these services that are provided, and when nonprofits are running these programs, which is true in most cases, seeking donations from their supporters and grants from foundations and businesses. Most builders aren't equipped to do social services, nor do they want to. Most social service agencies aren't knowledgeable in property development. And no matter who you are, fundraising isn't easy. So it takes dedication, it takes persistence, it takes resilience, it takes a great deal of knowledge in these areas, and having a lot of partners, a whole lot of partners, to put it all together.
And there is also trying to deliver the programming that would be part of permanent supportive housing. I understand this is also kind of a substantial task to have that kind of programming in place.
Well, yeah, I just mentioned some of those programming needs, but you know what's crucial here, in addition to the needs themselves, is that they be easily accessible. Now, Lifelines at West End Neighborhood House is a good example of making that work. They have a combination drop-in center and office on the same block as many of these housing units, so counselors and social services specialists are there just about every day. They arrange for medical services for their residents either at St. Francis Hospital, which is just around the corner, or at Westside Healthcare, which is four or five blocks away. Now, people who are in need of these services are much more likely to use them when they're in the same building or when they're practically next door. So again, you've got folks with limited income. You don't want to have to have them travel any kind of significant distance to get there, because that increases the odds of them not getting there at all. In addition, as the experts tell me, if people have easy access to address these health and social needs, their problems are less likely to spiral out of control, which can lead to visits to an emergency room or some other form of crisis center. So, assembling these essential services is a challenge, especially when you want to gather them all under one roof and in a convenient location. But, the experts say, easy access means fewer costly and time-consuming emergency situations later, and that reduces the long-term burdens on healthcare and on our other service centers.
So having said all that, what would making more permanent supportive housing in Delaware look like? Who needs to be meaningfully involved to make it happen?
Well, I guess I'm coming back to the necessity of a little bit of the traditional Delaware way sort of thinking here, but then we've got to do something. Creating more permanent supportive housing in Delaware is going to take a coordinated effort among government and private agencies that have not collaborated very much in the past. The people who concentrate on housing don't necessarily focus on homelessness. There are some government officials who treat homelessness as an issue that is separate from substance abuse and mental health crises, even though housing stability appears to be an essential component on the road to recovery. So then what is it that we have to do? First, we need leadership at the state level. We need someone who's going to take charge. And then that leader has to pull together these people who don't talk to each other enough and who act together even less frequently. And I'm talking here about government and nonprofit experts in housing, mental health, and substance abuse. We're talking about builders and developers of affordable housing. And we're talking about folks who know the ins and outs of local planning and zoning regulations as well. No one says it's going to be easy, but many people say that it's possible. But it's going to take leadership and a sense of commitment.
And even if the state could deliver more permanent supportive housing, it really is just one part of addressing these issues, right? I mean, in particular, the overall affordable housing piece, right?
Yes, absolutely right, Tom. The annual counts that are taken show that there are more than 1,200 homeless individuals in the state, and many of them are struggling with either their mental health or substance abuse issues. And that subgroup here accounts for really 5 or 6% of that overall need of more than 22,000 affordable housing units. Affordable housing in that broader context, you know, that we're talking about, means not just having a roof over the heads of the addicted and the mentally ill, but also shelter for teachers and restaurant workers in these pricey areas down at the beach, healthcare and emergency workers statewide who don't necessarily make high salaries but work in important professions, apprentices in the building trade. I mean, you get the picture from what I'm suggesting here. Now, when you look at it this way, creating permanent supportive housing for those with chronic disabling conditions is just a small piece of a much larger problem. But arguably, these individuals that we've been focusing on today have some of the greatest needs, and housing stability should make it much easier for them to address the major health challenges that they face.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nangast for his time this week. His piece on other solutions to address the issues of homelessness, mental health issues, and addiction that the Creative Vision Factory is working on is available at DelawarePublic.org, where you can also find the rest of the stories in this Delaware Journalism Collaborative series. Next up, Arts Playlist takes us to the Brandywine Museum of Art for a new exhibition from an acclaimed Philadelphia artist and teacher. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.